the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Dina Dow from the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Hey, Dina.
Good morning, everyone. Hi. Good morning, Gabby.
Good morning. Hey, it's so good to have you with us as a guest co-host today. So Alicia is on pilgrimage with Catholic Community Radio at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And we actually have Father Chris Decker joining us for a little bit. He'll give us an update, but real quick, he is with us. Good morning, Father Chris.
Good morning, everybody.
Great. It's so good to have you with us today. Dina, before we get started on today's guest lineup, why don't you lead us in prayer today?
Yeah, it's a great idea. This is the morning prayer from the Magnificat, if you're following along. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, you are over all, in all, beyond all. Open our eyes to see the wonders that surround us. Open our hearts to know the wonders of our brothers and sisters. Open our lips to sing your praise. Restore all peoples in your image, who is Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And our saint of the day is Saint Ignatius of Lecconi. So we're going to hear a little bit more about him later on in the program, but a great story of a great saint who suffered beautifully, but for the glory of God. So I'm looking forward to hearing his story too.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. Well, we're starting off with Father Chris Decker. He's a pastor at St. Mary's of Falls River in New Roads, and also our director of mission here at Catholic Community Radio. And he's going to give us an update live from Hansville, Alabama, at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. So if you follow us on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Catholic Community Radio, you can actually see a sneak peek of some pictures on how their trip went yesterday. So everyone did arrive safely. We're looking forward to hearing what they have planned for today and the next day. So it's a beautiful, beautiful day there. Perfect weather. I don't think they could have asked for a better, circumstance to travel to Hansville. So it'll be a great time with them. Peter Finney is the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald, and he'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And they have a lot of stuff going on, a lot of exciting things. So we'll talk to Peter about that. Dr. Tom Neal joins us as well. He's a professor of spiritual theology at Notre Dame Seminary. And today he's going to talk to us about enhancing our prayer life and helping us learn God's will. So discern God's will. How can we hear that in our prayer? So he'll give us details about that. Great person to listen to. I could hear a 4-hour show on just Dr. Neal talking. Yeah. So it'll be a great time. And Stacy Lamar is the housing coordinator for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And today she's going to join us to talk about Sanctuary for Life. So she'll be joining Dina in our Baton Rouge studio to give us an update on this wonderful program that they have put together. So great guest, great interview. It's going to be a great show, Dina. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
and
it's so full.
I'm so grateful that you're here with us
as
well today.
I'm so excited. Yeah, thanks for asking me to fill in as co-pilot. You know, this is really exciting. I watch the station every morning, which is funny. You watch a radio station every morning. So it's a great way to just, you know, get your day started. And then to hear the faith stories that are coming out. These are amazing guests this morning, too. Between the three of them, I'm not quite sure. Oh, yes, and Father Chris, too, you know, about the pilgrimage going on. And I just recently met Stacy Lamar last week. So I can't wait for her to share her the story about Sanctuary for Life and all the great things that they're doing here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, you know, and surrounding
It'll
areas, too.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful. We'll stay with us. We have your gospel and gospel reflection after the break. It's 5 past the hour on Wake Up.
Thank you. A good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day, because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." We've heard the Gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's Gospel guides us back to the upper room on Holy Thursday, when Jesus brings together fundamental themes that characterize his ministry. He reminds us of the importance of faith. He reiterates that when we believe in him, we also believe in the Father, because he and the Father are one. Jesus repeats that he is the light of the world that illuminates all those open to receiving the truth. Those who shut off the light of Christ remain in darkness, as is so tragically evident in the lies and pronouncements of so many of our civic leaders. In the end, all men will be judged in accordance with whether they accept or reject the Son of God. Because Jesus is the Word incarnate, he is one with the Father, and he perfectly reflects the glory of God, because as St. Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus declared, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." In the passages where Jesus speaks of his oneness with the Father, he also clearly shows the distinction as persons. The Father is the one who sends. The divine Son is the one sent. In his teaching about the Blessed Trinity, the 15th century Council of Florence declared that the Father is wholly in the Son and wholly in the Holy Spirit. The Son is wholly in the Father and wholly in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is wholly in the Father and wholly in the Son. This is the great mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus came to save mankind by the total sacrifice himself for the forgiveness of our sins and to bring us his supernatural life. But Jesus is also the judge of the living and the dead. He passes sentence at the particular judgment, which happens immediately after death. Then, at the end of the world, at his second coming, he will render the universal judgment of all men. Our salvation is a serious business, because the fate we choose will last forever. Jesus reminds us through Saint Faustina, "This is the time of my mercy. I have all eternity for my justice." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for today's Gospel and Reflection. Father Chris Decker joins us now. He's a pastor at St. Mary's of False River in New Roads and our director of mission at Catholic Community Radio. And he is on pilgrimage, our pilgrimage, to the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, Alabama. And today he's going to give us an update. I want to find out, how did yesterday go? And what do you have planned for the next couple of days over in Hanceville? Good morning, Father Decker.
Good morning. Good morning, Gabby and everybody. Yeah, it was a beautiful day yesterday. It was an early day, having to drive in from New Roads. I think my pickup happened somewhere around 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And we pulled out at 5:30 from the Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center in Baton Rouge. And, you know, it's always interesting as a priest that we get maybe time off, but never a day off, you know? And so really from the very beginning, early in the morning, When you got a bus full of people and they never get to corner a priest to ask him questions. That's what I did pretty much from 5:30 in the morning until we pulled in here almost 1 p.m. So the trip over was great. We had Mass at the Lord's Grotto. So if you've never been to the shrine here at Hansville, there are a number of things that help to kind of transport you to the holy places in the world. And one of them is the grotto in Lourdes, where Our Lady appeared to Saint Bernadette. Well, they have kind of recreated that along the river here that runs through the property. And so we had Mass there. That was the first thing that we did for the Feast of Saint Damian the Leper. And then we took the tour, had a little time for Eucharistic Adoration, which apparently it's the world's tallest monstrance because it wasn't, and then Mother Angelica added a cross on top, so it became the tallest monstrance in the world. That's Mother Angelica for you. And and then from there, we had a little bit of time to kind of explore a little bit, and the pilgrims made their way to the hotel. And we had Mexican food last night. So that was last night. That was yesterday. Can't go wrong with a little queso, in my opinion. It helps to lubricate the pilgrimage experience.
Oh, my gosh. And it tastes so good. Okay, so that's wonderful. It sounds like a great day, perfect weather. So what do you have planned for today and coming up tomorrow as well?
Today, all the pilgrims should arrive. I'm actually here at the shrine in the priest's residence. It's called the barn, and so I'm waiting for them. They'll get here around 8 in the morning, and then the first thing they'll be able to do is join in the Divine Office, so one of the celebrations of the Liturgy of the Hours with the sisters, and then, of course, they'll have time for Eucharistic Adoration. They'll be able to go to confession bright and early at 8, and then a spiritual talk. Brother Leo, who's one of the friars here, has been kind of leading us around. And so they kind of rotate in and out for talks on various subjects. So they'll be able to do that. There will be a tour of the John Paul II Eucharistic Center. So if you want to learn about how the Eucharist fits into our salvation history and then reveals itself in the Mass today, they have a very interactive exhibit that we get to go through. And so we'll be doing that. And then prayer in the church, a Eucharistic healing service a bit later in the day, and then time for the chaplet. So it'll be kind of the same tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a little bit more open.
I love it. Thank you so much, Father Chris Decker. We're praying for safe travels on the way home, but also for a wonderful day today and tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us.
You got it.
All right. Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald in the Archdiocese of New Orleans joins us when we come back from the break. It's 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 11th. Today we celebrate St. Ignatius of Laconi. If he hadn't kept his promise to God, we probably wouldn't be marking the feast of St. Ignatius of Laconi today. Born in a large family in Sardinia in 1701, Ignatius suffered a serious illness as a young man. He vowed to become a Capuchin Franciscan if he recovered. In time, he regained his health, but he ignored the promise he had made and went on about his life. Years later, he was in a horse riding accident that left him unharmed. Seeing the incident as a sign from God, Ignatius resolved to act on his unfulfilled pledge. By then, he was 20. He became a Franciscan brother. For 15 years, he quietly served his community as a weaver, but he found his real calling when he was assigned as the official beggar for the friars in Cagliari near his hometown. It was a task he performed daily, without fail, with devotion, for the rest of his life. While on his rounds, Ignatius would instruct the children of the town, visit the sick, and urge sinners to repent. Many people reported cures during his lifetime. Following a brief illness, Ignatius died in 1781. He was canonized in 1951. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
We are back on Wake Up. It's 7:18. Great story about St. Ignatius of Laconi and fulfilling God's promises and not hesitating on that. We are so blessed this morning, again, to have Peter Finney, editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald. He's going to give us an update on what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. So welcome, Peter Finney. How are you?
Thank you so much, Dean. I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for being here with us this morning and regularly a guest here on Wake Up. There's so much going on in this issue coming up, so we're going to go through these. And, you know, just so grateful that you can highlight these for us. So we're getting a message from Archbishop Amen regarding the Supreme Court justices. So tell us a little bit about that and what Archbishop Amen is guiding us to do.
Sure. Well, as everybody knows, you know, last week the leaked draft opinion of the Supreme Court case, Dobbs versus Jackson, and it's an incredibly important decision that the Supreme Court has to release. And the draft opinion, the leak, appears to indicate that Roe versus Wade is going to be entirely overturned, which would remove. Bring the case now to each of the 50 states. We don't know actually if that draft opinion is the final opinion. Everybody expects the decision to be released at the end of June. But the Archbishop is saying in any case, we have to continue to pray for the Supreme Court justices and for their decision-making process. And he asked for people to pray for life, not only for the unborn, but also for the mothers who are faced with difficult, challenging pregnancies, that they will, you know, carry their babies to term and give birth mm-hmm. to them. And he talks about all of the services that the Archdiocese has for women who are in challenging pregnancies, and the Archdiocese makes us available to women who are in need. So he's asking basically for prayer and to continue to pray for the Supreme Court justices that they will affirm life and protect life and protect the life of the mother as well.
Yeah, because prayer is going to carry us, right, and carry this through.
Yes.
For them. And I like the way that he's, you know, actually offering the services and really highlighting those, which we know a lot, that support women and their pregnancies. So a great gift.
That's right.
Yeah, great.
Catholic Charities has a maternity clinic, yeah. A St. Vincent's maternity clinic. We've got adoption services. The Woman's New Life Center, which is located right next to the Planned Parenthood clinic, on South Claiborne Avenue. So there's so many mm-hmm. there's so many things going on in the Archdiocese for women right. who need this kind of help.
Right, and accompaniment too. Gosh, it's the greatest thing
that's
that we
right.
can do for women. The next story is that you're going to have four men that are going to be ordained to the transitional diaconate, which is exciting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, and Dina, you know, the transitional diaconate is the final step before ordination to the priesthood, which would come next year. And so these are four men who will be will serve as transitional deacons. And a transitional deacon is he has the ability to proclaim the gospel and also to give homilies, so to break open the word at Mass and to talk about the good news to people in the liturgy. The transitional deacon also can witness marriages and also you know, perform baptisms as well, and also preside at funerals. So it's an incredibly important ordination step, and these four men will serve in the Archdiocese, and it is David Doyle, Corey Ford, Long Fan Pham, and Kevin C. And so those four men will be ordained on May 21st, Saturday, at St. Louis Cathedral. And there is a fifth seminarian from Notre Dame Seminary who actually is a seminarian from the Diocese of Tororo in Uganda, and he also will be ordained for the Tororo Archdiocese, and his name is Jude Friday. So we've been praying for them and their as they prepare for their ordination and for their year ahead.
Absolutely, yeah, because they're assigned into parishes, right? So they're actually going
That's
into
correct.
The vineyard. I say, stepping into the vineyard for real.
Absolutely. They go from June through October, and so they learn just a lot about the daily workings of the parish, and they get to interact with people, which is a wonderful thing, and they get to just know kind of get a little bit more about the life of a priest. So
right.
It's great training and preparation.
Definitely our prayers for them, too. Another story that you're focusing on is Judge Bernadette D'Souza's, her story of her faith life and you know, her devotion to her Catholic life and then entering law school. Tell us a little bit about her story.
Yeah, this is an incredible story, an incredible woman. She was born in India, in Goa, which is a Catholic enclave. St. Francis Xavier was a missionary and brought Catholic faith to Southwest India in Goa in the 1500s. Anyway, she was she long story, but as a young mother, she came to New Orleans. Her husband was a neurologist working in New Orleans. They had three small children. They finally blew into school. Her last was in five years old in kindergarten, and she had always wanted to be a lawyer. So at the age of 35, she went to law school, and she got fascinated with helping clients, women especially, who were victims of domestic abuse. And so for 18 years, she worked with clients who had been abused by their partner. One frightening story, it's incredible, she had just won a protective order from a man, to protect the woman. As they were coming out the courthouse steps, the man stopped off in a car, pulled out a gun, gunned down the woman at her feet, and then it looked as though he was going to shoot the judge or shoot the attorney, but he turned the gun on himself. It was a murder suicide. She saw this, of course, but her Catholic faith. She's a daily communicant, and she talked about how her faith buoyed her to get past this, and she continued on her work with domestic abuse victims, and then eventually became the first city court family court judge in the city of New Orleans in 2012, which is an elective position, and they handle all kind of domestic abuse cases and things such as that, protective orders, and she's done that since 2012. A lot of judges, they give the new judge this, and then they move on because it's so emotionally challenging. Mm-hmm. She said she loves to do it because she loves to take care of families, and so it's an incredible witness that she has she's been through. And she talks about the countless there's so many people that she has affected. She went into Rouse's the other day and she saw a cashier. The cashier said, "You don't know who I am, huh?" And she said, "No, I really don't." She says, "You saved my life. You were my lawyer." Wow. She didn't realize that. And so how many people did she touch along the way? Yeah. So it's just a great little story about her. Judge D'Souza, an incredible, incredible woman.
Yeah, and these are stories that we would never know unless these were told, telling these faith stories and these witnesses of those that are working, quote, behind the scenes to protect those that are victims of abuse. And what a gift for her, and to live out her faith life in her ministry and in her role as a judge. That's amazing.
That's right.
And in your section in Kids Clarion, St. Francis Xavier students, because it is the season and the month of Mary, you celebrate, they're celebrating May crowning. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
That's right. Well, this is the last issue of Kids Clarion. Can you believe it's May?
I can't. Wow. I can't believe it's May.
But May is the month of Mary, and St. Francis Xavier and Metairie had a beautiful May crowning, and the students, of course, participated. And the second graders were there, the ones who were preparing for First Communion. So it's just a beautiful Catholic devotion. And Beth Donzie also has stories from essay winners on the call of disciples, the call to discipleship. So Brother Martin sponsored a contest, and these students wrote about what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ. So I tell you, there's so much wisdom in the young church. It's incredible. So I think it'd be very inspiring for people to read.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great thing, too, to guide our young children in missionary discipleship, especially at that age. And that's kind of my forte. It's my job for the diocese is to help people grow in evangelization and discipleship, too, especially at a young age. I mean, it's never too young to be able to teach our children how to hand on the faith and proclaim the good news as well.
There's no question about that. There's no question.
Well, that's
we have four grandchildren, and we can see that it's incredible how tender and loving they are. Their parents just really take such good care of them and really focus on Jesus, and they know all about Jesus. So that's where it starts, in the home and at school, sure.
And I think that's an opportunity for grandparents to hand on the faith too. That's important too, in that discipleship. It seems like the themes that you've been covering today are, primarily covering the issues of life, and enhancement, and also the ways that we can serve it as well. But it's very powerful. I mean, in your experience, how is this day and age, in serving with Catholic media and in telting these stories?
It's important because everybody has a story. People don't know other people's stories. The challenges that you might have in your life usually are private, but sometimes you find out about things that a person went through, encountered, and how they overcame those challenges with the gift of their faith. It really, to me, that those are the most interesting stories, because they help others look at, hey, maybe examine their own lives and say, hey, you know, this person did this, and what a witness this is. What can I do to kind of maybe even emulate? We have so many saints among us, and we don't know their stories until they're told. So that's the joy of this of my, you know, job, my vocation, really, is to help people know that.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do, is tell the stories in the gospel. Today we talk about speaking, you know, and speaking the truth through God. Tell us how we can get issues of the Clarion Herald, or how can we obtain that so we can really dive into these stories and others that you have.
Sure, Nina. It will be at every church this weekend in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And then right now online at clarionherald.org. Clarionherald.org has the electronic edition, so every page is up there on the website, on the internet.
Peter Finney, editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald, thank you so much for being with us on Wake Up. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Dina.
It's 7:30 on Wake Up. We'll be right back.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Abortion-friendly Democrats want to pass legislation offering unlimited abortion, but would need to eliminate the Senate filibuster. What they call the Women's Health Care Protection Act would go far beyond Roe v. Wade on abortion, but Democrats fear they could be a minority next year, and eliminating the filibuster would come back to haunt them. With no White House action against violence, and Nancy Pelosi calling pro-life Republicans a cult, or a senator selling abortion as good for the economy to vandalism and firebombing or new state abortion funding, Dave Andrusko of National Right to Life is reflecting on the shallowness in abortion rhetoric. Another poll from Trafalgar shows Democrats losing even pro-abortion support. 76% of Americans disapprove of protests at homes of U.S. Supreme Court justices. The tacit approval of that by the president is compounded by another developing story. People are figuring out that the phrase Roe v. Wade means 60 million dead children, not merely an allegedly feminist mantra. This is Life News Radio.
Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the Church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org.
Pro-lifers in Arkansas say a woman was taken to a hospital after being injured in an abortion at Little Rock Family Planning. And Missouri is working to make sure a ban on abortion kicks in should the Supreme Court overturn Roe while legislators are not in session. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Past the hour on Wake Up. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Dina Dow. Dina is the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and she's so gracious to join me this morning.
Co-pilot.
It's so good to have you with us, and the show has been such a blast today, and looking forward to a great guest. Dr. Tom Neal joins us right now. He's a professor of spiritual theology at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans, and today he's going to talk about how to enhance our prayer life and help us discern God's will. So how do we hear that in prayer? You know, we just want to do the right thing. We want to be happy. We want to be at peace. We want to have a connection with God. Dr. Neal's going to give us some tips on that. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Gabby and Dina. How are you guys today?
Good morning, Dr. Neal. We're
doing
great.
Good. Yes.
I'm
so good to have you with us.
Well, I love at the beginning of the show, you said, I'm going to have 4 hours today to talk. That really helped. So I made a very long talk.
We wish. I could listen to you talk for 4 hours.
This is what I do well, is talk and talk. So thank you. And Dina, it's great to see you. I watched you guys online there, so it's great to see you again.
Thank you.
And your wonderful coworker, Wes Giffen, I'm so proud of him.
Yes.
Getting his MAPL degree, master's degree.
Yeah.
He killed it.
What a blessing. Thank you so much for mentoring him too. Wes is our associate director. I'm sorry, our director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry at the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Yeah. Thank you so much
for being. You've got a great team up there.
We do.
Fantastic. Well, today, I want to talk. Thank you for letting me talk about this. And as you said, you know, discerning God's will, which is kind of like, it's like the Catholic cultural buzzword, discernment, right? If you get in the Catholic world, you quickly hear this word, right? What is discerning God's will? What is God asking of me? And there's so much said about that, written about that, and we could say about that. But I always like to say to people, to myself, that the key component to discerning God's will, to judging what God's will is for me or for others that I'm responsible for, is listening and surrender. Those are the key components, to listen to what he wants and then to surrender, to be willing to do what he wants or accept what he wills. And so those two things, if they're not present, then discernment is useless. If you're not willing to listen and willing to surrender, then there can't be discernment. So I'd like to share a particular thing that I had told you I was going to share about, a prayer chaplet that I created with the help of some friends over time, and I'll tell you just a little bit about it. It's called the Eli Chaplet, and I'll tell you why it's called the Eli Chaplet. So back in 2013, when I was at the seminary here in New Orleans, I had a major kind of career shift within my job at the seminary that had to happen, and the decision had to be made quickly for what I was going to move to, and it was a challenging decision for me. And I was inspired by my spiritual director to pray the prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9, where the priest Eli says to the boy Samuel, who's living in the temple at the time, when Samuel keeps hearing his voice spoken in the nighttime, Samuel, Samuel, the high priest finally says to him, if you hear the voice again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Mm. So I just prayed that prayer, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of times over several days, maybe even thousands. And I found it really powerful. Like, I had never prayed that prayer just that. It's not a prayer that's asking for a specific particular end. It's not saying, give me this answer. It's just saying, I'm open to listening. And I found it really powerful. And then after that decision was made, I started using it pretty regularly. I'd take walks. I would just pray it over and over again. And I found it was really helping me to open myself to those two things, to listening and then to surrendering. I shared it with a friend, I remember, in 2015. He used it, and it had a powerful effect. And he said, you know, you should do something more with this. And so, anyway, so last year I was inspired to create a chaplet. A chaplet is like a set of prayers that are organized around the rosary beads, like the Divine Mercy chaplet, that would be a prayer of listening and surrender, both of those things I mentioned there. So I put that together. What prayers from sacred scripture are both listening and surrender, or prayers from our tradition? So this is how I did it. I put together the rosary beads, the cross prayer. I took St. Ignatius of Loyola's, what's called the Suscipe, which means accept. And that prayer we know from one of the classic kind of Catholic hymn songs, Here I Am, Lord. It's take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. You have given all to me. Now I return it to you. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Something like that. It begins with that prayer, said slowly and meditatively, and that's a prayer of surrender. It's completely giving absolutely everything about myself, my life, everything over to God. And then on the Our Father beads, we pray the Our Father, because the Our Father, of course, is the supreme surrender to God's will. It's an extraordinary prayer. Seven petitions, all of which consent for God to do what he wants to do. That's all the Our Father is. It's consenting for him to do what he wants, which is ultimately he wants to liberate and redeem us and to bring us into conformity with his will so that heaven on earth may be present. And then the Hail Mary beads, you pray, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. On the Glory beads, we take Mary's words to the angel Gabriel, let it be done to me according to thy word. That consent to whatever it is God has said inside of me, whatever it is. And then at the very end, on the Hail Holy Queen, three times we repeat the words of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark's gospel, which are really powerful and beautiful, and it's the only time we hear Jesus quoted as using the Aramaic word for Father, Abba, which is a child's word for God, like Daddy. Mm. And he says, Abba, not my will, but thy will be done. And you say that three times, Abba, not my will, but thy will be done. And that concludes the surrender. And then you sit in silence for several minutes and just let the Lord do what he wants inside of you in his own way. And then you move on.
and you pray this regularly. I do it as a novena, so 9 days of that. And so I ended up inspired by another friend who encouraged me to make it into a prayer card. So I did, and I put it on my blog, and it got so much response. So I decided to do that. So my friend Pete Bond, whom I know you've featured here before, Pete Bond,
yes, famous Regina Cigars.
Originator of Regina Cigars. Regina Cigars are the best cigars I've ever had. Just smoked them the other day. But he also has a Catholic prayer cards business, CatholicPrayerCards.org. And he put together a beautiful prayer card with kind of an introduction to what this is, some basic instructions, and those prayers, and a little concluding meditation. And I had it translated into Spanish. So on one side it's English, the other side it's Spanish, so it's bilingual.
That's great.
That is our country, Catholicism in our country. Anyway, so I wanted to share that because when people are trying to figure out what the Lord wants them to do, a lot of times, right, we're going after particular answers. Is it this or this? And those are important. But the first thing you need to do is just to generally open yourself just to listening, not just listening for an answer you're looking for, but just listening and then just surrendering and then going for the particular answer afterwards, but beginning with that posture. Because if you begin with a specific, you'll never be open to the other because you're so hyper-focused. So I find it powerful for that reason.
That's amazing. Okay, and so with you being a professor of spiritual theology, you're teaching seminaries, you're teaching future priests, how do we discern the voice of God and the voice of the devil? Because that's one of the things we want to do God's will.
No, that's a really great question. Well, let me say this. I'll give a very brief answer, but anyone who wants to read something really helpful that's a very good introduction to this is Timothy Gallagher. Anything by Timothy Gallagher on discernment of spirits, discerning God's will, even as a book on discerning God's will in marriage, tells you exactly how you distinguish spirits, right, the effects. And it really has to do with the fruits. Jesus says, by their fruits you will know them. So fundamentally, the question always is what you feel drawn to, first of all, in conformity with what we already know God's will to be? In other words, God would never call us to do things that we know are not his will, are wrong, right? He wouldn't call us to do things we know are wrong. Also, when we do God's will, the fruit is a fruit of peace, a sense of peace and order in our lives, not of chaos, not of fear, not of anxiety, not of, you know, kind of obsessiveness, but of peace, of order, of a sense of clarity. It can be very hard what we choose and difficult, right, intimidating, but there's a sense of peace and resolve in it, whereas the evil spirit or even our own kind of anxious, kind of dysfunctional spirit gives us a sense of trepidation, of paralysis, of fear, of wanting to run away, right? The Holy Spirit always makes us want to embrace the cross, right, to carry our cross, whereas the evil spirit makes us loathe and hate our crosses and become bitter and resentful and angry. Those kind of things you look for. And I like to say also, when we discern God's will, we're only asked to discern to try. We attempt to do what we think is will, and then we learn as we go. Now, there are some decisions we make, like marriage or priesthood, which are definitive, but
Dr. Neil, I'm so sorry. We are out of time. Again, we could talk for 4 hours. Thank you so much for joining us. It's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 after the hour. We're so excited to have our next guest with us. Stacy Lamar is the housing coordinator for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. And she is here to talk with us about Sanctuary for Life, a maternity home for pregnant and homeless women. So good morning, Stacy. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good. We just met last week at Women's Giving Circle. What a blessing it is to share this time with you this morning. That's God's providence, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Thank you for having me this morning. Thank you for having me this morning.
Oh, thank you for what you do. So let's get right to it. Let's talk about the Sanctuary for Life. I know it's the only one of its kind in our state, but tell us a little bit about it and how we can share this mission with other people.
Okay, Sanctuary for Life is basically the word sanctuary. It means a place of peace, a place of reverence. So it's a place where women come that are homeless and pregnant. Sanctuary for Life is mostly funded by donations. It's just like you said, it's only the one kind in the state. It supports women from pregnancy to birth. And even we do have a program that even supports them once they give birth. One thing about women at Sanctuary, we get a lot of women that are pregnant and homeless. Some come to us because family members want them to have an abortion. You know, they'll come to us and say, you know, Miss Stacy, I don't know anything about, you know, taking care of a baby, but I want to keep my baby. And I want to know, can you help me and can you teach me how to take care of my baby? So that's one of the kind of things that kind of tug at my heart and touch my heart, that these young ladies may not know, you know, how to take care of a child, but they want to learn, but they don't want to have an abortion. So that's one good thing. So we provide shelter. They don't have to pay any overcost. We transport them to and from doctor's appointments, any educational appointments that they may have. And so we just try to provide them, you know, ways to make sure that they, you know, have a healthy baby.
And it's the life skills that are so important to support the young mother and the mothers, as well as for them to be able to be a good parent and a mother to their child. I think just the fact that they're choosing life for their child and there's a place for them to go. I mean, that, and then the ability to be able to say, you know what, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing, because many of us don't when we become mothers, but the fact that you all are there to be able to provide for that, what kind of skills do you teach them and how do you support them with that?
The skills that we teach them what we call life skills. And life skills is basically just basically the simple things of how you may have some women that come to us that doesn't have a GED, so we make sure we provide services to get them a GED. We have some ladies that come to us and who want jobs. For instance, we had a young lady who came, she always wanted to be a nurse. So we started off as a CNA. So we provide, we pay for her to go to school to be a CNA. Right now, she's currently living out of town and doing well, still call back, let us know that she's doing well. Now she's trying to be a LPN. So we also teach financial. We have some local credit union come in and teach them about credit, how to save their money. We have employment coordinator services that helps them get jobs, which we have relationships with people that are in a community. So we help them get jobs and just basically send them to classes to teach them how to take care of their unborn child and even their child once it's born.
So it sounds like not only are you helping them with skills of motherhood, but you're also helping them with transitional skills to move out into the world once their child is born, and then they can have a good foundation to provide for their children as well.
Yes, yes. And we have 24-hour staff. Staff is, you always have a staff there in need. We're there 24 hours. We have somebody there every day, all day.
Wow. How many people are there? How many people can stay there at one time?
We have 8 mothers that can stay there at one time.
Oh, wow.
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 Yes.
What's the most challenging thing that you find for these young women that we need to be aware of, that we can offer more support?
I think it's just getting out of, like, toxic environments, you know, just in bad situations, bad relationships, bad family relationships. So basically providing even mental health counseling is another thing, too. And things that we need to provide to help keep us, you know, keep us running. Just like I said, we basically are funded by donations. And it's so heartening when somebody just call and say, you know, we just want to just give to Sanctuary for Life. We're able to do baby showers. We're able to, you know, give whatever they may need, more clothes, that type of thing. So that really helps. And sometimes the women will be like, God, they still have people out in the community that still do stuff like this. It was like, yes, people come and they sometimes donate, you know, lunch or donate dinner. And, you know, so it's really touching when a community still say, you know, even though I'm young, but I still chose to keep my baby. And so I have help.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's kind of the donations really, really help us a whole lot.
So donations on, and what other ways can people help to support this mission?
We sometimes have people that may come in and teach, you know, simple stuff, you know, how to sew, even just sometimes we have, if they want to learn, you know, more about God, we have people sometimes come in and, you know, do some readings and, you know, it's a choice because we have people that come from all different religious backgrounds. And so, you know, so we don't infringe it upon them, but we ask.
Right.
And most of the time that's a good emotional support too.
And this is open to all. Sanctuary for Life is not limited to any one, you know, faith or background, right? It's open to all people, correct?
It's open to all people, all people, yes.
So tell us in the final minute and a half that we have, like, you know, a, what Father Josh Johnson would say, a glory story, you know, a woman that's been served by you all and then has come back to really reflect. I know you talked about the woman that was became a CNA, but what are the stories can you recall that really just resonate with you?
One particular story, one lady came. I mean, she was very, very early in her pregnancy. She built a relationship. You know, she said she never, the Sanctuary for Life, she said, felt like a family to her, like a traditional family. So she left prematurely, and she called back crying. She called me 3 o'clock in the morning. I get calls all the time in the morning. And she asked me, can she come back, and can she try to start all over again? And she did, and she had her baby. We were able to find her long-term housing, and she's doing well. She still come back to bring her child to see us. And so we have so many of those stories that are like that. And one thing that I love the most is that they still call us for emotional support. Support, yeah. So yeah. It's we get calls from people who we didn't dealt with 3 and 4 years ago.
Because it's family.
Still keep in touch.
Family, yes. So if we want to donate for Sanctuary for Life, where should we go?
CatholicCharitiesBiara.org.
Wow.
And that's CatholicCharitiesBiara.org. Yeah.
And Gabby will post that in our Facebook link as well. Stacy Lamar, Housing Coordinator, Catholic Charities of Diocese of Baton Rouge and Sanctuary for Life. Thank you so much for your gift of what you do for these women. May God bless you and continue to serve you in your mission.
Thank you. And thank you for having me this morning. You have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you. Wow, Gabby, what a beautiful mission, you know?
Yes.
I mean, that's
just
amazing.
So many practical things, not only being there for the person itself, but also teaching them practical things like budgeting, sewing, you know, how to just live life. So this is great.
Definitely.
I love Sanctuary for Life does really great work.
Sanctuary for Life and Sanctuary for Hope. That's the word that kept coming to me was Sanctuary for Hope. So let's close in prayer this morning and offer our day to God. This is actually a surrender prayer, too, so it kind of goes along with Dr. Neal was talking with us about. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My God, I give you this day. I offer you now all of the good that I shall do, and I promise to accept for love of you all of the difficulties that I shall meet. Help me to conduct myself during this day in a manner pleasing to you. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dina, for joining us today. It was a great show with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me substitute. I'll come back anytime. This is beautiful. Thank you.
Absolutely. This won't be the last. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. We have events in your listening area. Dr. David Whitten with Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady University joins us. David Dawson Jr. and Allison Millett with Woman's New Life Clinic has a great announcement. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.